Transmitiendo desde San Ildefonso número 28, antigua Escuela de Jurisprudencia, proyecto grado cero de la enseñanza del derecho en México, esto es Procrastinando.
Buenas tardes, amigas y amigos del Proyecto Grado Cero, amigos que están en internet. Nos encontramos con el profesor Duncan Kennedy de la Universidad de Harvard y estamos en el marco de un evento muy interesante que se llama Max Weber y las ciencias sociales en el siglo XXI, organizado por el CIDE y por el Colegio de México, ¿no? Actualmente nos encontramos en las instalaciones del Colegio de México para realizar esta conversación con el profesor Kennedy. Professor, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to do this.
Okay, first of all, we want to dialogue with you about what is the importance to study the political view of the political topics to law.
That's a very good question. So it is, you're right to ask me that question, because a large part of my professional work has been exploring and trying to understand the political element in law. But it's important to make a first distinction. So I think everyone understands that legislation, or say the adoption of a constitution, is a domain in which politics overwhelmingly powerfully influences law. So their law is the product of politics. And I think everyone also understands that lawyers in our modern societies, many lawyers have careers of practice which are politically motivated. So they practice law as human rights lawyers or as representatives of large corporate interests with the goal of advancing a particular political conception of society through legal work. So their law is again the object of a project which is political, not the legislator, but the lawyer. So what I've been preoccupied with is the role of the judge and the jurist. So for the judge and the jurist, the question of the role of the political is quite different. And the reason for that, very simply stated, is that it's part of the normal way of proceeding for the judge and the jurist to deny that their activity in law is political. Everyone agrees the legislature is political. Everyone agrees that practitioners are political. But the question of the role of politics in judging and in legal scientific work by professors, by jurists, what is the role of politics in that? So here I would say there's a characteristic modern view, which I've been very interested in exploring, and I'll try to explain why. I think it's very typical for both the jurist and the judge to strongly deny that politics has a part of their work. But it is also a condition of the modern situation that they suspect other jurists and other judges, and the public suspects the judges to have strong political agendas, in spite of the fact that they vigorously and strongly deny it. So the judges are denying it, and the professors are denying it. They're saying, we're doing law, we're not doing politics. Law is autonomous, it's a separate kind of reasoning, it's a separate domain, and it's very important to keep politics separate from judging and legal science. It would corrupt them and destroy the rule of law and be incompatible with the separation of powers if judging and legal science were political or politicized. So, very strong position with this equally strong paradoxical other side, which is universal suspicion, what you might call a hermeneutic of suspicion, which is the idea that somehow, though that's what they're saying, that's not what's going on. And the reason for alarm is if judges are in fact secretly or in a denied way politically motivated, then our politics, the politics of the society, is not quite what we thought. It turns out that there is another power, another political power in the judiciary and in the legal, the Academy of Legal Science, a power that is doing things that are not transparent. We don't understand what's going on. They're denying it, and we don't know whether it's really, really law or whether it's strongly influenced by ideology. So this is a particular description of us, what I'm saying is a kind of social reality of politics in relation to law. And I think it's worth studying. The reason why it's worth studying it is that if this kind of analysis is true, it's a quite important aspect of law that it has a denied political character, which is at the same time an object of suspicion. So that seems to me an interesting, if it's true, so it's worth studying and exploring that question.
Okay. And in this view, what is the importance of the rational formalists in the creation of the law?
So let me say if I understand the question. It is part of the way in which some jurists, not all jurists and judges, understand the way legal interpretation is done. So we're not talking about legislation, and we're not talking about law practice. We're talking about judging and legal science. So it is an important position in Western cultures in general that the nature of the development of legal interpretation is that it should be a rational process, meaning that it should be based on the development of rules from other rules. So there's the basic enacted valid legal order. The judge takes that and works by a logical, rational process to develop specific, more specific legal norms that will be applied to the case. And the professor does the same thing, but with hypothetical cases. So the idea is from more general norms to derive more specific norms. That idea is the rational part, and the formal part is the idea that politics, personal opinion, religion, morality, those things are extra-juristic. What the legal process is about is the rational derivation of one norm from another norm, and it's crucial that that process should not involve these other things. So the problem of the political in law is also can be understood as this kind of an argument. Although many people think that law does operate that way, many jurists think it does operate that, and many more think it should operate like that, in modern legal science, there's a strong counterposition that law never has and never could operate in a way that combined logic and the exclusion of the social context to that extent. So in Mexico, but in every other Western legal country, the jurists are divided between the formalists and the judges, in their opinions, between the formalists and those who are acknowledge the existence of gaps and conflicts and ambiguities, undecidabilities, indeterminacies that are being filled by interpretation, often by interpretation that abuses deduction, abuses the claim of rational formal procedure. It sounds rational and formal, but it falls to internal critique. It turns out that the gap has not been resolved, it's been papered over. The conflict has not been resolved, it's been avoided. Or the ambiguity has not been clarified, it's been exploited for another agenda relating to that which is extra-juristic. So that debate is internal among the jurists. Again, it's a debate about the politics of law. because the abuse of deduction, the claim to be logically formal, is one of the ways in which the core, this is an important point, the core or organization or the social group of the jurists maintains their social power, in part by this misrepresentation of their own practice.
Well, now can we talk about the relations that exist with the Marxism studies and the law?
So many people might think that what I just said is a typical Marxist analysis of law, but that's not true. The position that I just described is a position that's shared by many different social critics in different traditions. It's not a Marxist analytic because it doesn't assert that class interests are the driver of the exercise of judicial power. So it is not arguing, first, that it's class interest, and second, it's not arguing that there's a logic to the capitalist economy that requires a particular legal order. So those are two ideas classically associated with Marxism. This is not that idea. But it does draw from Marxism the idea of criticizing bourgeois ideology. So it's not about material-based economic determinism. It's not about capitalism understood as a necessary structure. But it is about the idea of ideology, criticism of the ideology. In this case, the abuse of deduction is an example of an ideological procedure. But in this respect, it's very much also like Weber, and very much also like Foucault, and also it's influenced by postmodernism. So this kind of criticism doesn't come from a particular political philosophy. It doesn't come from a political philosophy, a political program, and it doesn't come from a philosophy. But it is, in general, people like me understand the project as a leftist project. It's not Marxist in particular. It's more anarchist than it is Marxist, more anarchist, because it emphasizes individual responsibility for the decision, and the decision is not determined by a class structure or an economic structure. It's a claim that individuals make the decisions, and it's an argument for the exercise of personal responsibility inside bureaucratic organizations like the judiciary and the university. And the hope of the analytic is that it will empower people to dare to pursue their ethical objectives. But that could lead to, that's not necessarily wonderful from my point of view. It's a gamble that a emphasis on freeing the individual from a false constraint will more often lead to good political results, which for me I would identify as left, than to right-wing ones. But there's no guarantee. The analytic is independent of the politics that motivates it. So thank you very much for listening. I hope this was interesting. Yeah, it was a lot of fun to do.
But draw a good man. When the moon peeks over the mountain, little girl, I'll be on my way. I'm gonna roam the highway until I break.